Hey, we're doing Jewish history, and we were up to the story of the building of the Mishkan. And on the 1st of Nisan, we actually inaugurate the Mishkan. And Bezalel built the Mishkan, and then Nadav and Avihu take a foreign flame, and they bring it into the altar, and they die. And it says it in singular form, Vayamot, and he died, Nadav Avihu. It doesn't say Vayamutu, it says Vayamot, he died. And our sages say that's to indicate they both dropped it in a split second. Now, Nadav and Avihu, it says in the Holy Zohar, were under 20 years old. The Zohar writes they hadn't yet left their father, so to speak. Nadav had an element in him that was like Yosef. Avihu had an element in him that was like Yisro. And that element reappeared in Pinchas, and Elio, and Samson, and Chofni and Pinchas. Okay, so he goes into all that. and then we have, in spite of the passing of Nadav and Avihu, we have a celebration. The 12 leaders of the tribes each bring their sacrifices. Right?
Were very, very holy people.
Yafe. Now,
Hashem took them instead of anyone else.
Okay. We reach the 13th of the month of Nisan, our parasha. And Moshe tells the people, tomorrow on the 14th, we're going to bring the paschal offering on time. We reach the next month. It's the month of Iyar. And Hashem tells them to count the Jewish people. That's Parshas Bamidbar Naso. Then we come back to our parsha, the 14th of Iyar, and they have the commandment of making Pesach Sheni. So here we see that they were in the desert of Sinai for 11 months and 20 days, because they got there after leaving Egypt, and on the 6th of on Sivan they got there, and they left in Iyar. Because on the second day of Iyar, it says that that's when the cloud lifted, and they traveled out of Sinai. And they traveled up to the place where they had their desires, and they spent 30 days there eating from the slav and dropping dead. And then they went to Chatzerot, and they were in Chatzerot for 7 days, waiting for Miriam to become pure again. And then...
she was pure in 7 days.
It took her 7 days to come back to the camp. They spent 7 days waiting for her.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you said 20 days.
So that month, Tammuz had 30 days, and that's that year. And on the 29th of they sent the Meraglim. They come back 40 days later, which is the 9th of Av. And that's when they complain, and it's decreed that that generation will die in the desert. On the 17th of Elul, so we have the 9th of Av, and then a month and 8 days later, on the 17th of Elul, the spies all drop dead, other than Kalev and Yoshua, right? Okay, there's a big discussion in Halacha whether it was on the 17th or the 7th of Elul. There was a custom to fast on that day. And there's a big discussion in Halacha why we fast on a day that wicked people died. The spies were wicked. They caused tremendous heartache for the Jewish people. So he suggests that it could be they did tshuva. What were they doing after they sinned? They had this decree. What are they doing for the next month? So he says... maybe it seems that they did do tshuva and Hashem wouldn't accept it. And the Shlah writes they were still tzaddikim. That's a big discussion in Halacha. Kalev was 40 years old when Moshe sends him to spy the land. Our sages say, a medrash, that Kalev was really the same person named Eshkol, who was a friend of Avram's. Whatever that means. Right. It means on a spiritual level. Okay. So, Kalev is given the nickname in Chronicles of Ashkur. And our sages say the reason he was called Ashkur is because his skin turned dark because he fasted so many fasts, because he saw himself so tempted to join the other spies and speak badly about the land of Israel. So he fasted and fasted and fasted to take control of himself. He knew he was facing a challenge and he didn't know how to take control of himself. This was the way. So he fasted to the point where his skin changed color, and that's why it was called Ashkur. And then right after the spies, and it's decreed that we're not entering the land of Israel, so people are coming to this realization, we're spending the next 40 years, they thought it ended up being 38 years, just wandering the desert till we die. They were totally depressed, and the time was ripe for Korach to lead his rebellion. So right away, Korach leads his rebellion. And our sages say, how did Korach get so wealthy? Because Korach stumbled upon all the wealth of Joseph. When Joseph amassed tremendous wealth for Egypt, he also became very wealthy. And our sages say that Korach stumbled upon that wealth, and that's how he became so wealthy. Yes. Okay, maybe when you're passing through oases, and you see they did have merchants coming to sell them goods. Anytime they came near a country, they sent out merchants to sell them stuff, the Talmud says. Other than Ammon and Moab, other people were interested. It was good commerce. You could sell the Jews, nomadic tribes. So 5 years after we've left Egypt, it's the year 2453 in Tsarfat, in France. Esav's grandson, Sepho, the son of Eliphaz, the son of Esav, becomes king. We advance another 9 years, the year 2462. We've left Egypt 14 years ago. And then Latianus, the king of the Kittim, passes away. He's been king for 45 years, and his son Abimnus takes the throne. 5 years later, we've been out of Egypt 19 years. We're traveling throughout the desert, because we're going to travel for 19 years, and then we're going to stay put for 19 years. So the first 19 years in the desert, we traveled to and fro. The next 19 years, we spent in a place called Kadesh Barnea, until we will end up with 42 journeys.
So where is Kadesh Barnea?
I don't know where Kadesh Barnea is. Okay, and that brings us to the year 2473. And we'll start discussing what they were doing in Israel during this time. After we left Egypt, we'll pick up.